And you might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Genesis. If you would, the book of Genesis in chapter 6. And in our exercise of late, as we're looking at the book of Joshua, and seeing how Israel, at that time in their history, was super-duper successful, and why. That's what we're helping ourselves to understand, trying to. So, and keep in mind as you do this, now, here's the creation of the world. God creates the world, Genesis 1 and 2, etc. And here's all us humans on it. And humans, Adam and Eve sinned, and Cain did not believe, Abel did. And Cain became the father of the first city, Genesis 4:17, and he builded a city contrary to God's instructions. Think of Israel, if you would, as we remember in the book of Hebrews. And Israel, what? What do we know? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were tent people. You don't read the cities. They were tent people. They weren't logging in to here and now. They understood, as you know, in Hebrews 11, they looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. They weren't city. Cain builded a city, and as we share together, and the city was to complete, to compete and be complete, to compete with God. That was the purpose of the city. So we didn't need God. We have everything we need between us. And they were very brilliant, super duper brilliant. Sin was just starting in. So man, were they sharp, and they had it. You don't want to think they were stupid. Man, they were one you can't imagine. Now, so therefore, as we're looking, and you are reminded that Cain built a city, and all the people, that's where they lived. And Genesis chapter 6, I'm looking at humanity. I want to see how it goes down the corridor of time, because that's what we're looking at. How are humans doing? Chapter 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. It never became good. Always bad. Always leaving God out. Sliding down if I can. Chapter 5, go to verse 13. And God said to Noah, verse 13, God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. God eliminated the Genesis flood, everyone except Noah and his family. And you know, as we did all this, chapter 8, after the Genesis flood, the evil that existed in all those people existed in Noah and his family. And thus in the process, evil didn't go away. God tried to save Noah, who walked with God, but the evil was still there. So therefore, chapter 8, verse 21, and the Lord smelled after the Genesis flood, and the ark was on land, and the Lord smelled the sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. It didn't do much good. If I got rid of everybody, as long as somebody's here, we got a problem. Until it's fixed. Now, keep in mind as we're doing this, God in his wonderful grace, and God is going to chapter 11, as you know, chapter 11, and again reminding ourselves in the tower, remember, they built a tower and a city after the Genesis flood. They went right back to a city, and that's what they did. Verse 4, and they said, go to and let us build us a city and a tower, 11:4, whose top must reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. In other words, they just don't want to listen to God to populate the earth. They wanted to be together, stay together. That was their power. And therefore, verse 5, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. They have one language, all one language, one mind, one heart. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. And therefore, it's going to be Genesis 6 and worse. I can't do it. What's your problem, God? If you had a problem, you what? God, you created us humans, all of us in Adam, all of them in Adam, and there they are. And the Lamb of God, Christ, died for them. So everyone born on planet Earth, physically, everyone who has physical birth is supposed to be saved. God died on the cross to save them. They were born in physical, and God put himself, Romans 8, Romans chapter 1, God put his word in their heart so they knew. God created them, and they're dead in sin because of Adam, but God created them to live in God's wonderful, wonderful person. Now, so God died for them. So God said, there's no sense. I'm not going to do this again. I tried that. I looked at that, showed it. They were all evil. And even though I left some, they still were evil. So now, if I can, over to Matthew and chapter 24. And history goes down, history moves along all the way into the New Testament and into the time of, as it were, the our Lord was born and has three and a third years of ministry, public ministry. Chapter 24, Matthew, picking up our Lord, giving a discourse on the prophecy and of the future. And when you come, as you come, picking up again in verse 15, and when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand ye in the holy place, stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Now what's going to happen? The Antichrist is going to put himself in the temple that is going to be built. That's what he's going to do. Now, God said, let me keep reading, as you know. Chapter 24, going to verse 20. But pray ye not that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. In other words, you pray that when this happens, you get out of Jerusalem as fast as you can. Verse 21. Then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be, except those days. This is the tribulation, when God lets the world loose. The world said, get out of my way and let us do it. And he lets the devil do what he has to do. Now, again, verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such was not since the beginning of the world, to this time, no, nor never shall be. And there's nothing like what's going to happen in the tribulation. Except those days should be shortened. There should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. If I let it go to 10 years, would I find anybody? Would I find anybody if I let it go? It'll get worse and terrible and terrible. And the tribulation gets terrible. Revelation chapter 9. And in Revelation chapter 9, picking up, if I can, in Revelation 9, as you know, all kinds of ways to do this, but here's a way to see it. In the tribulation, if I didn't cut it short, it would be terrible, terrible. Now, how bad's it gonna get? Chapter 9, picking up, if I may, in verse, remember the God lets, the demons are all out there doing what they do. In verse chapter 9, verse 18, by these three was the third part of the men killed, by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouth. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like the serpents, unto serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men, verse 20, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils or demons, one devil, many demons, and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone. They aren't worshiping God. No, they're into idolatry, and of wood, which neither can see, nor hear, nor walk. Verse 21. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornications, nor of their thefts. Neither repented they of their murders. They didn't repent of anything, no matter how bad it was. Drugs, weird stuff. It let it go. They wouldn't change. So God, here we are looking at your judgments. You have created us humans. You died on the cross to save each one that would be born on planet Earth. And we know from Luke 15 and that God said, do you know that angels in heaven rejoice over 7,000 get saved? Remember that? They rejoice over one sinner. One sinner. A million zillion people, one sinner that repents. That's the problem. We aren't going to change all the way. And you know, if you read Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:13, and they're going to be deceived and then deceived some more and then deceived some more. They're going to wax worse and worser. They're not going to get better. People will get better. No, they'll get worse. Hard heart, it'll get worse. Now, so therefore, looking at all that and keeping that in mind, God's wonderful, wonderful will for Israel, God's nation to be the nation, God's nation to reach all the nations of the world. And God is holy, and God has a right to reign and rule. After all, he owns everything from top to bottom. And thus, it is his right as ownership, having ownership. Everything that is his stays his. He creates it. No one else ever has it. Everything he creates answers back to him. It never goes elsewhere. It answers back to him. It's his. So he creates it, and he wants to do the right thing to save them. But they don't want to get saved. They have to answer to him. There is no other way. Hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. Chapter 25, Matthew. Now, having said that, in God's awesome, wonderful working, so over with me, if you would, if you can, over to the book of Daniel, Deuteronomy. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 7, if I can. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, picking up if I may, going to verse 16. And thou shalt consume. He repeats in Deuteronomy the instructions that they had to do when they crossed the Jordan in order to conquer the enemy. What are the instructions? It wasn't something that they didn't know about. They knew it. They knew what they were to do. Therefore, chapter 7, verse 16. In other words, God's going to take care of them. Verse 15, the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knewest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. And thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eye shall have no pity upon them, neither shall thou serve their gods. For that will be a snare unto you. And if, verse 17, and if thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? That's the word, dispossess. The word to possess is the same word, dispossess. You possess something by dispossessing it. So, verse 18, and thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shall rather remember that the Lord thy God, what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and to all Egypt, and the great temptations, etc., etc. And sliding down, if I can, verse 21, and thou shalt not be frightened of them, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible. Verse 22, and the Lord thy God will put those nations before thee by little and little, and thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beast of the fields increase of thee. We'll be back to that. Verse 23, but the Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee, and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed. Verse 24, and he shall deliver their kings into thy hand, and thou shalt destroy their name from under heaven. There shall no man be able to stand before thee until you have destroyed them. That's why Israel was going to have such success. Verse 25, the graven images of their gods shall burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. In their idolatry, in their things that they worship and make for their idols and idolatry, don't touch it. Leave it. Leave it. Even as a golden idol. No. And you remember what God did with Abraham and the golden calf. And God judged the people of Israel. And God took the golden calf and had the golden calf melted down to dust. And they scattered it out. God said no. And the golden calf and that kind of problem Israel has never solved that. In a sense, it hunts them down. Now, verse 26, neither shall thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing, like it. Accursed, that's our word we're going to be looking at. A cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it. It is a cursed thing. Don't touch what I condemn. Don't touch what I have judged. Leave it. Don't touch it. If you do, as know from Joshua 6, you're in trouble. Don't do it. When I tell you to go, chapter 7, verse 16, don't have any pity upon them. Do what I told you to do. You're after the gangrene. You're after the cancer. You're after the bad. Don't play with the bad. Get rid of it. Cut it off. Cut it off. You don't want to save part of it. Save part of my hands getting black from something, whatever, and then getting black. And therefore, I like my hand. I'll just maybe cut off my nails. No, I got to cut off all the way to the good part, because that disease will cry right up my arm, and I'll lose my whole arm. No, God said, don't play with it. Don't play with it. It's deadly. Now, hang on. Having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, it's cursed. It's cursed. And in the process of being cursed, sliding over, if I can, back over to Joshua, it's cursed. Now, so what do we know? In Joshua, if I can, and in chapter 6, and you would recall, in chapter 6, what are they doing? They're marching around the city 13 times, 13 times, 7 times on the 7th day. And in the process, they're going to go and march around the city, and they need to be very mindful of what they're doing, as we shared, have been sharing. So they are conscious of the fact that God's going to do something wonderful. They know what their assignment is. It's to do, to take that city, and the city is accursed. Chapter 6, in verse 16. And it came to pass in the 7th time, when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And now we did shouting. Why did they shout? Because God had given them the victory. And that's what they're doing. God, we understand you've given us the victory. Then say it. Shout it out. As we did. Shout it out. You've given us the victory. That's why we're shouting. We're marching around the city. And, as you know, and in the process, verse 17, and the city shall be accursed. There's your word we're looking at. Even it and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all her and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent, 2 spies. Now, and here, remember the wall, double walls, 4, 5, or 6 feet between the walls, way up 40 feet high, plus or minus, all around the walls. And her houses were built across where other houses were. That's what they lived. They built that. Had a lot of stairway to get up, had to take the elevator to get to the top of the wall. Now, where they lived. That's what they did. And Rahab was there. Now we're going to keep going a little further. And in the process, chapter 6, and in verse 5, and it shall come to pass, I'll read verse 4, and the 7 priests shall bear before the ark trumpets with the ram's horn, and the 7th day shall you compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And that 7th time, and then you're going to shout. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with a ram's horn. And when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall flat down, flat, flat, under it, all flat. And the people shall ascend up, every man straightway before him. So as they're marching around the wall, when they shout, the wall goes down flat. And archaeology back years ago, when they fooled with the Jericho, and on the north end of where they did this, here's the city, and on the north is that way, and on the north side, the wall, everything's flat, flat. And only God can do that, which he did, flat. So all they have to do, they don't have to climb over rocks to get to the enemy. They just go straight across to get the enemy. Don't have to fight, don't have to fool with it. But on the north end, in archaeology, there was indications that the wall right up there did not fall down that way. And that's where Rahab was. God spared Rahab and the people and her family that were in that wall. That part of the wall didn't fall, but the rest of it fell flat. Chapter 6 and verse 20. And the people shouted with the priest when the priest blew the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him. In other words, he didn't have to find how we're going to get into the city. Wherever they were standing around the wall, they had access straightway into the city. The wall was flat. And in the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, that's what they did. It's an awesome, awesome thing. And this is just a side light we did years ago, but I thought it was so good. I'm going to read it to you. This is on the wall falling flat. This is on what we just read. We just read this. We read chapter 6. You got that part. So now, here we are. The pastor visited a class of boys one Sunday morning to find out what they were learning during Bible study. "Who broke down the walls of Jericho?" he asked. "Not me, sir," the boys replied. "Is this typical for your class?" the pastor asked the teacher. "These are honest boys. I believe them," the teacher replied. "I don't believe they would do a thing like that." Frustrated and discouraged, the pastor told the Sunday school director and his visit to the class, and the response of the boys and the teacher. "Pastor, I know the teacher and those boys for a long time," the director replied. "If they said they didn't do it, that's good enough for me." Next, the minister brought the matter before the official board of the church. I mean, you gotta keep going. He brought it before the official board of the church and the pastor's official board of the church. They discussed it for 2 hours, understandably, lots of discussion. They discussed it for 2 hours. They then reported, "Pastor, we see no need to get upset about a little thing like this. Let's just pay for any damages involved and charge it to the general church budget." You see, what do you know? The wall fell flat. What do we know? And that's like people are asking now, different, you hear at different places, where they ask questions of people about anything, or the government, and they hear the answers of something else. They hear the answers. They don't know it. Where they're coming from. People don't know the Bible. What do you need to know? The walls fell flat, wonderfully, wonderfully flat. And God did that in his most wonderful way. and gone thus is going to go. They're going to go in and they're going to do what they have to do, the way they have to do it, and they're going to have to trust God. Hebrews chapter 11. And how did they do it? God tells us a very simple statement. Hebrews chapter 11, if I may. And Hebrews 11, picking up in the process. Chapter 11, picking up, please, in verse 30, you'll see it, 11:30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. They shouted and believed God, and the walls fell down. I'll read it again, verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Now, so having said that and keeping that in mind, God's awesome, wonderful working, and God's going to go and hand, don't eat touch of the accursed thing. Don't touch it. That's what you're going to find in Joshua. Back over to Joshua. And in chapter 6. And Joshua chapter 6, if I may. And you'll remember, chapter 6, picking up, please, if I may, in verse 18. Verse 6, 18, Joshua, God warns the people, which they were warned before they crossed the Jordan, and ye in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed. When you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel accursed, the same word, and trouble it, you're going to be in trouble, and you're going to make the whole camp of Israel in trouble. Don't touch what God has devoted to destruction. Do it. God isn't saving it. You don't want it. You leave it alone. It's devoted to destruction. Stay away from it. It's holy. It's been set apart for God, by God, for God, and by God. So now, having said that, so what are we going to do, God? They did it by faith. That's what they did. They believed God and went 13 times and they shouted. And thus they're going to go and walk into that city, away from where they're standing, across the rubble, straightway into the city, and kill all of them. Everything. That's what I want. Like in Genesis flood, everything went. That's a lot. Everything went in the Genesis flood. The only thing that was saved was Noah and his family. That's all. God, what are you going to do? God said, the tribulation's coming up. Do you understand? I'm going to do what I'm going to do. It has to be done. I'm going to let the tribulation expand and express itself in all of its horror, in all of its terribleness. I'm going to let evil loose. I'm going to let the devil said, if you just leave me alone, I'll do things. God said, all right, it's your time. Right now, it's God's time, a time of grace to do what he has to do. And guess what's happening? What's not happening? The grace of God, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The Spirit of God is holding evil down, holding it down, so it can't get up. It's waiting to get up. God's holding it down, so it can't get up. It's chomping at the bit to get up. That's the tribulation. and the wrath of God. Right now, it's being held back. So God, what are we going to do? We're going to go, and we're going to have to be strong and of good courage and have faith, like we shared this morning. You have the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. You believe that I'm able to be who I am. You believe my word. You're resting in my word. That's what I want you to do. If I tell you to shout, shout. If I tell you to relax, relax. And all the fears and all the dangers and all the disappointments are all there. They are all there. But so is God. And we have to go through them. We live in them. So God, what do you want us to do? To be strong and of good courage. Back over to Hebrews in chapter 10. Hebrews in chapter 10. And in the process, in God's wonderful kindness, Hebrews in chapter 10. And chapter 10. Oh, and going over, if I can, to verse, you'll pick it up in the movement of it. Chapter 10, Hebrews, verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. You're going to trust God? And look at verse 34, the background. Verse 34. For you had compassion on me and my bones, and you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. In other words, a lot of things aren't going very good, but that's all right. It all has to be, it could be worse, but it isn't worse because God's holding it back. The Spirit of God is. Cast not away, verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense and reward. For you have need of patience, bearing up under the load, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. You can't have the benefits of the experience until you go through the experience. How are you going to do that? You can't have the benefits of experience, learning something. The college of hard knocks. You can't get you can't graduate from that college unless you go through it. That's how you learn it. That's what you learn. That's what God said. God, you could just stop everything just every time we get sick, every time we have a problem, you could fix everything. But no, that isn't the way. No. No, you're in a world and you have to learn to trust me. And when you learn to trust me with all your heart and do it, actually do that, then you'll find I'm an ever-present help as you go down the corridor of time. And therefore, verse 37, but yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. But you are not of them which draw back unto perdition, but of them which believe to the saving of the soul. And so what are you going to do? Well, Israel has to do what it has to do. And as long as it does what it has to do, it's invincible. You couldn't beat Israel. You couldn't do it. Why? Because God gave the victory. God gave it. And as long as we're going to trust God, then God's going to do what he's going to do. And that's the count. I can be sure of it. Like we shared this morning with the cups this morning. God in us, and we're in God. So as we walk down the street, go to bed, eat our lunch, whatever we do, go to work. God is in the person, the believer, and the believer is always in the presence of God. Always. So it's always like that. Always like that. I need to understand it. I need to understand it enough. I need to do it enough, to experience it enough, to know it enough, that after you have done the will of God, you'll know. Just do what I told you to do and walk across the wall and do what I, the whole city is accursed. It all has to go. Everything has to go. The Genesis flood, everything has to go. The tribulation when the Lord comes, all of it has to be done. It's an awesome thing. But God said, I have to do it. I have to do it. Otherwise, I created them after all. I created everybody. I created the devil. I created it all. I allowed it all. And I died to show. I died on the cross to save people out of the whole evil system. And that's what I'm doing. I'm saving them. And therefore, look to me, said God, as you go down. By faith, you walk down the corridor of time, believing God's wonderful word, God's awesome presence. And that's what you're going to do. And God said, listen, don't hold the evil. I want to get that. Boy, I want to get that, like we shared this morning, with joy. I'm going to have it. Don't hold anything like that. The only thing to take serious is God. Don't take yourself too seriously. Don't take yourself too seriously. Take God very seriously and have everything like that. And so there's nothing, not even the air you breathe. You're free from all obligations. God in Christ has given you a wonderful relationship to enjoy earth, to enjoy, think of this morning, and to enjoy God's wonderful time on earth. The world system hates it, and I judge the world system. It's anathema. It's going to be cursed, and it has to be judged. You're in the world. Don't love the world. Use the world and enjoy. And go have an ice cream. Well, a little bit. Our Father and God, help us as we just sort of thought about things a little bit to remember, God, the awesome. Everything answers to you. You own everything. And everything has to be, isn't accountable to you. So you have to go and put it together. And so all we can do is draw a little circle. Like it says in Philippians, work out our own salvation in fear and trembling, knowing you're busy, verse 13, doing that which has to be done to help us. Put our neck under the yoke and learn of you. God, all the different ways you say it to help us so that as we're going to work and getting out of bed and having all the ills and ups and downs, God, we're looking to you as we walk. And we aren't walking around the wall of Jericho. We're walking by faith up and down the street by faith. Not by Jericho, no. We aren't going to stop the world. God, we just want to walk in such a way that honors you in this time of grace. And our God, we thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for your grace. Amen. Thank you.